And here in the studio, right in front of me, is dear Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. And today, actually, Robert, we are going to talk about how not to be fired.
Interesting subject.
How not to be fired, you know?
And how to get over being fired.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a very relevant topic in today's fast-changing world.
Have you got an experience being fired, I mean?
I haven't, if I'm honest.
So you have no qualification talking about this?
I have done the firing a few times.
Oh my goodness, that's even more dangerous.
From that perspective.
Was that uncomfortable?
It's interesting because I guess I first was in the position of having to do that probably 12 years ago or something like that. And I can remember making a huge mess of this situation and being in this meeting room yelling at the poor chap who had to
You were brutal.
I was brutal. It was embarrassing to look back on. But now,
are you from the primitive world? My goodness.
Probably, quite possibly. Yeah. Okay. Many people would say so. But actually now, you know, we had unfortunately someone that we had to suggest leave the business a few weeks ago, and we went out of our way, and actually one of my Chinese colleagues especially pointed out to me, Sophie, said that it's very important for your company, for the company's reputation, that we do this in the right way, we do it in a kind way, and we make it as easy as possible. And what's interesting is in some organizations that have a really advanced human resources capability and organization, you actually get points, you get scored points based on how well you fire someone, to put it rather brutally. And if the person leaves the conversation understanding, agreeing, you know, happy that it's the way to move forward, you've kind of, you're 10 out of 10.
Let me compare, maybe in a very nasty way. I mean, compare this firing as a divorce. Nobody wants the divorce. A divorce is never a happy thing. But I have always come to this conclusion that I'm talking to, you know, personal.
Speaking. Yeah, yeah.
If you ask me to fire somebody,
yeah,
it is harder for me to fire somebody than the one who can accept the fact, actually.
Yeah.
Because based on, we are very benevolent people. We are kind people. It's so hard for you to make that decision. But by the way, the decision is a decision already made, right?
Yeah.
How can you make that person to leave your company or the workplace with a relatively peace of mind, you know, comfortable mood?
I think what I would say is, and I think this applies to particularly to people in the first sort of 5 years or so of their employment, is sometimes, it sounds a bit harsh, but it's a bit like it's a mercy killing. You know, it's a mercy killing of an animal. You know, you're actually almost doing someone a favor, because you can see with your experience and your benefit of hindsight, really, that someone that may not be right for the job, but they can't see it themselves. You know, when you're too close to something, you can't see it. That's the first thing I'd say. The other thing is, I think your metaphor of you know, comparing it to a divorce,
the end of a relationship,
is interesting, because actually, you know, to speak from a personal perspective for a second, my parents are divorced and they are very good friends. Their new husband and wife, you know, they all get on well. And
it's
the
best result of a divorce.
And for me, it's the best. It's kind of the best outcome. I'm happier for them apart. So, you know, it can be done nicely. I think it's a question of the maturity and the judgment and the way of doing it nicely. And I think, you know, it's also a question of vocabulary. Mm-hmm. But
I was going to say, I think when someone gets fired, the most important thing for the firer is that they have to word it in a way that they'll have to explain that we won't, unless someone really deserved it, meaning to say something like, we won't give you a bad reference. If someone asks us about your stay at the company, we will just be very mum about it.
Yeah, I know that, Byron, what you're talking about. But what I'm thinking, you know, Robert, is that as a fire, is that a firer or firer-y? Oh, my goodness.
Fire-er.
Someone, okay, someone, a killer. I call it a killer.
Hunter.
A killer.
A hunter.
As a killer, okay. Do you, I think the best thing, or the best thing about a, you know, you're going to let this guy go, right?
Yeah.
Do you put a heart into doing this job? Or do you put yourself in the shoes of this guy? Try to win over as many benefits. Or maybe talk to this guy. You know, what was really, you know, not right for you to fit into this job? So that this guy, after leaving you or this company, can have a better opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's important to be honest with people.
Don't just dump somebody.
No, no. And, right? And it's what's also interesting is, I mean, not many people, it's a difficult thing to do, right? You know, to ask someone to leave an organization. And I've found if, you know, when I was first in the position of having to do that, I was very kind of nervous and stressed myself. And I found that you know, came across to other people. Now I'm much more relaxed about it, and that seems to come across to people. The other point I'd make is that, you know, I think that we also need to categorize dismissals into dismissals for reasons of performance or conduct, and also redundancies. And interestingly, I've had one occasion in my career where I had to. Not at my company, I might add, but I had to make about 30 to 40 people
to go
redundant in one day.
That's too and cruel. Because of the economy, right?
Right. It was post the banking crisis, and I found that actually more emotionally draining. Having to say to people, look, you're actually quite a good person, but on orders of the headquarters, you've got to go.
And I don't want you to go, but you have to go.
Well, precisely, and I didn't want them to go, and I didn't think they should go.
It's so hard. That's why I cannot be a boss.
No.
I cannot.
Well, that was also why I couldn't work for someone again.
This is because the greater sort of demand of the society, you know, it's kind of you're forced to do so, right?
Yeah.
But let's put this aside, because nobody can do anything in a downward going sort of economy or whatever.
Right.
But let's talk about, because you have never been sacked. Me never have such a terrible experience. But let's just switch our roles. Try to imagine or put ourselves into the shoes of people who are being, you know, sacked. Maybe not just once, maybe twice, even third times in their life, because you are an insider. You did the very thing. You at least you have the experience of sacking somebody. I didn't have. As an insider, you know what sort of advices you can give these people to avoid being sacked again, maybe again in the future?
Well, that's a real interesting point, because people's behavior and habits tend to repeat and repeat and repeat.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have people who have this pattern of leaving jobs after 6 months or after a year. I think, you know, people have got to take – it's very difficult being honest with yourself. Over what's the right thing for you. And I think people need to take time out. You know, we've discussed before on this show that when you are in a relaxed state of mind, your mental capacity is greater. So you have more time to think.
Mm-hmm. Put it this way. What sort of people are not easy to be fired, are welcomed all the time? And, you know, what qualifications do these people have?
I'll say one thing, that people who behave in an arrogant way, people who behave obnoxiously.
We will be back very soon. You're listening to Studio Plus.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people, share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus. Something fresh.
Then add in your mushrooms.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus.
You're listening to Studio Plus. We are in the middle of a conversation with Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. And today we are talking about how not to be fired or not to be sacked. And I think everybody hates being fired because it's a rejection. Right. I mean, people love to be welcomed. People love to be, you know, loved. Being rejected, being divorced, being not wanted is a bad thing.
Of course. It hurts your identity as well.
Yes, indeed. It hurts so much. So we are trying to talk about how can we avoid being rejected or sacked.
Well, let me give you an answer to that one right there and then. For anyone who thinks that the decision to, I mean, I don't really like the word, but to fire or dismiss someone is
dismiss
made,
is better, is, maybe.
Yeah. Is made in and set in stone. Let me tell you, as an employer and as an HR insider, if you like, it isn't. And people can change their minds right up until the last minute. And you have
still have hope.
Exactly. You have the opportunity, particularly in a more intimate environment
using
where decisions.
A gun? Robert, if you.
No!
Oh, okay. You change your mind in a split second.
Now, people
I'm
have
joking.
The sure. People have that opportunity to better themselves. You know, I'm always, when I've got someone who's kind of on my radar and I'm thinking, you know, is this person going to work out or not? I'm not looking for reasons to get rid of them. I'm looking for reasons to keep them.
To keep them, yes.
All the time, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, actually they've improved on this, or they've improved on this. But what's really interesting is it's the people who have the bad attitude and the cocky attitude and the arrogant attitude, you know, you don't hesitate, unfortunately,
yeah.
to exit those people. It's just like asking to be fired.
Okay, I know Byron has a question. But,
well, I want to talk more about how to get over being fired. Like,
No. We come to that place because I have a follow-up thing.
Sure.
You're talking about this. I want you to choose, okay, mm-hmm. among the three, maybe more,
mm-hmm.
competence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Competence, the ability, right?
Yeah.
Competence.
Yeah.
Personality.
Yeah.
We talk about EQ.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
People
sure.
who will make everybody feel comfortable.
Yeah.
That's the EQ thing. And also team spirit.
Mm-hmm.
These three, which one comes out or stand out for you to keeping this, you know, guy or lady
in
your team?
Without a doubt, emotional quotient, EQ.
EQ, see.
You know, people's ability to get on with other people is paramount.
Yeah.
You know, we are not going to fire. The simple reality is the person that keeps everyone else entertained
happy.
And motivated and happy, we're not going to fire those people. Of course we're not.
For skills we can learn.
Exactly.
For knowledges we can improve.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
for many, team spirit is actually within the EQ thing.
Yeah.
I was tricky by asking you to choose between EQ and team spirit thing.
Yeah.
Because cooperativeness and team spirit is included in the EQ. If you have a high EQ, definitely you are cooperative.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's very good. Byron, then, comes to your question.
Well, I'm very interested in how to rebound after getting fired because it is a really difficult time for everyone in that situation because you always say the worst time to find a job is when you don't have a job, and those people have a difficult time proving themselves to new employers that they're worthy.
Yeah.
Actually, in summary, Byron, your question is how do us, everyone of us, to avoid vicious cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The vicious cycle of being rejected.
You don't want a resume that looks like a dog's dinner.
Oh, yeah.
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 It was interesting. A few years ago, about 6 years ago now, I took a psychometric test, and the results were amazing in so much as they were completely not what I was expecting of myself, and that was really useful. It was a really educational exercise for my own development, and I would suggest, I mean, it's maybe not the first thing you do if you've been fired. Maybe the first thing you do is go for a beer. But
a beer will produce immediate effect.
Yeah.
You know, as on if you really want to choose a better path, I think, you know, getting to know oneself and getting to know what you really are good at, what you really should be doing, and also why. I mean, it's an interesting sort of roundabout. But if you ask someone, so what does this do for you? What does this job do for you? Oh, well, it gives me skills and training and experience. Oh, that's interesting. What does skills and training and experience do for you? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it gives me energy. Oh, right. What does energy do for you? Well, it helps me develop my personality. Mm-hmm. So what you're really looking to do is develop your personality. So by asking that simple little question.
Are you happy in it?
Yeah. By asking that simple little question, you drill down into the real detail of what someone's really looking for, the essence, exactly. Mm.
But we are not talking about the obvious mismatching of one's ability with the job. Because the mismatching is so obvious, you can know why. You know, this job doesn't really fit you. But we are talking about the people who really love this job, but cannot cope.
Yeah.
You know, feel unhappy in it.
Well, I think, and that's an interesting, that's another topic, really. It's, I think that managing stress is a very important topic. It's something I can tell you a lot about, actually, having been pretty stressed out myself in the past. And it's a very relevant topic for young managers. We were talking last week about young managers, and you know, young people have extreme pressures put on them at times. And how to deal and cope with that is difficult. But going back to the people who've lost their jobs, you know, reflecting, taking a bit of time out, you know, letting the brain work fully is very important.
As Robert just now pointed out, the self-assessing is so important. It includes self-reflection. But there is one very tricky thing about self-reflection, because you reflect only within your own frame of thoughts.
Sure.
How about, my advice is that in your workplace, Byron, if one day you're going to leave this radio, talk to me.
Okay.
You know why? You go to your mentor.
Right.
Go to somebody senior and who used to be friendly to you or nice to you.
Yes.
Seriously ask for lessons.
Okay.
Seriously ask, you know, Manling, what I haven't been short of.
Sure.
Although Byron is doing very well, I mean, as a young lad, you know, young guy. Yeah. But this is something that I actually, if you have somebody feel ashamed, you know, they want to quickly disappear.
Because
they were hurt. They have no face.
Yeah.
Chinese people talk about face.
Sure.
But if we have professional counseling, do you have this thing in a Western society?
We
for laid off workers that you need to talk to people?
Absolutely. I mean, there are, it's called outplacement, actually.
Outplacement.
It's an official kind of service provided by people who, quote unquote, specialize in sort of managing and helping people find jobs if they've been made redundant or fired or whatever. But unfortunately, my view of that type of scenario is slightly skeptical. It's a bit in the same way as careers advisors at universities, in my opinion, probably know the least about careers.
No solution, yeah. I think if you can sort out things by talking to mentors or any senior guys, once you sort out thing, if it's the skills lacking, you can always learn, get retrained. If it's EQ thing, you can always improve.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. You know, the it's interesting. I mean, I had a thing on Twitter a few weeks ago, but actually, I've used business coaches in the past, and to give them credit, I've learned something from them, a fair amount. But the best business advice I've ever received was from the guy I used to work for 11 years. And that advice I never paid for, whereas the other advice was, you know the old expression, you know, the best stuff you don't have to pay for.
And you can take advantage of this resource. Well,
it tends to be, I tend to respect more people who've done it rather than people who've read about it and then charge you by the hour for telling you about what they read about.
Definitely.
You know.
All right. Good luck to all the people. And my
last, don't give up.
No, don't give up. And my last tip of the advice is that before the boss fire me, I fire him.
Okay.
And Robert, you are fired. You are dismissed because we're running out of air time.
Out of here.
That was our career builder with Robert Parkinson. Thank you, Robert.
A pleasure, as always.
Thank you. Look forward to the next time.
Likewise. Mm-hmm.